So the Bible reading for today comes from Luke, from the 6th chapter. Jesus is gathered with his followers, and he says, "Why do you call me master, master, but do not do what I tell you?" "I'll tell you what someone is like who comes to me, hears my words, and acts on them. That one is like a man building a house who dug deeply and laid the foundation on rock. Then when the flood arose and the river burst against the house, it couldn't shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not act is like the man who built the house on the earth without a foundation. When the river bursts against it, immediately it fell, and great was the ruin of that house." Every building has a foundation. This church has a foundation. Place where you live has a foundation. Our lives are also built on foundations. The life you're living, it's built on a foundation of ideas and thoughts and beliefs. In this parable, we're offered a contrast between building directly on the earth, on the desert sands, or on earthly appearances perhaps, or digging deeply and building on solid rock. Now, Jesus' disciples would have heard a little more when he said that, because if you'll remember, in the Old Testament, God is referred to as the rock upon which Israel is founded. So that would have been the secondary meaning his followers would have heard. While it's possible to build a very lovely and nice-looking home, either right on top of the ground or on sand or on rocks, he's pointing out that only one of these buildings is going to stand the test of time and weather and storm, the difficulties. And of course, this whole discussion is designed to bring up the question, what kind of foundation is our house, our life, built on? Are we building our lives based on earthly appearances, right on the sand, building on the earth? Or are we digging deeply? Are we digging down and finding something solid, solid, to build our lives and design our future on? We just passed year end, and as we look back at year end, we always look in retrospect, and sometimes we notice things that didn't really have such a great foundation. We've built some things that really maybe were not as well built as we would have liked them. And that's often the case when we're not yet fully aware of how things work from a spiritual perspective, not just a worldly perspective, but not fully aware of how things work. So we miss things. Or when we're not fully ready to trust in things that our eyes can't see and our hands can't touch, things of spirit, where we're not really fully ready to trust that. And so in those cases, we tend to rely on appearances or the opinions of others. And when we do that, and when we build careers and lives and things on those, well, sometimes it doesn't work so well. I was thinking some of the things that get worked in if we're not careful, we get things like, you know, resentments get worked into the foundation of our life. Or pride in how good we're doing. Or maybe a little selfishness. Or some judgment about us versus the others. And with those things in the foundation, it can't stand. It's actually a good thing when things fall down like that, because we don't want those as foundational ideas in our lives or in our world. Now, the Jesus teaching I was just reading from comes from what is often called the Sermon on the Plain in Luke. Like Matthew's Sermon on the Mount, it's actually just a collection of Jesus' teachings put together in a sermon-like format, not necessarily given as a lecture. Here's the intro to that little section. It says, "Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place, a plain, with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all of Judea and Jerusalem and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came through him and healed them. Then he looked up at the followers and he said, 'Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. When we read about Jesus offering the teaching, standing on a level place, think of that from a spiritual standpoint. A spiritually level, solid place. A God-connected place. Very similar to the way Matthew speaks of Jesus going up on top of the mountain to a high level of consciousness, we might think, and sharing the teachings. And we're taught that as Jesus taught these truths, people were healed. Because, as it said in the reading, power was coming through him. Something very true and powerful was moving through him. And it was resonating with people, and they were having healing. Now, Luke has Jesus begin the teaching with the same kind of words as Matthew uses. Blessed or fortunate are you who are poor. Yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed or fortunate are you who are hungry. You'll be filled. Blessed or fortunate are you who are weep now. You're going to laugh. These could be paraphrased by simply saying, blessed or fortunate are you who are not satiated or satisfied with the things of the world. You're ready to learn greater things, bigger things. While these are wonderful teachings, often the languaging in our Bible makes some of them kind of hard to listen to. One of the following sections talks a lot about good and evil. Here's the common translation. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each is known by its own fruit. Figs aren't gathered from thorns, grapes aren't gathered from brambles. The good person out of the good treasure of the heart produces good. The evil person out of evil treasure produces evil. For it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. Yeah, I'm exaggerating those words because I want to tell you a little bit more about those words. The Bibles that we're used to reading are based on a 15th century English translation, translated from Greek. Of course, Greek wasn't the language that Jesus spoke either. He spoke some type of an Aramaic. The Greek words that those original translators chose to translate as good and evil can mean that, but they also have other meanings. So if we look at the Greek, where it says a good person out of the good treasure of the heart produces good and an evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil, well, those same words can also mean a kind person and a person who is suffering or in pain as opposed to evil. So it can mean the kind person out of the kind treasures of the heart produces kindness. Goodness. The suffering person, out of their treasured suffering and pain, produces more suffering and pain. More suffering and pain. Translated this way, it can be seen more as instructional rather than judgmental. It offers a way on how to teach our lives, on how to improve our lives. Shift our thinking from treasuring our pain and suffering, which produces more pain and suffering, to focusing on kindness, goodness. Think about that, you generate more kindness, more goodness. We get to pick. We get to pick. That almost sounds Buddhist, doesn't it? Treasure your suffering, you get more suffering. If we dig all the way down to the Aramaic that Jesus would have been speaking, we can find another foundation. The roots of the Aramaic words that are commonly be translated as good and evil carry another set of meanings, and it's a set of meanings about ripeness, as in fruit or things that grow. Good, ripe, evil, not yet ripe. So no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Could be no ripe or mature tree can bear unripe fruit. But no unripe or immature tree can yet bear ripe fruit. And as the comment is, each one can be identified by the fruit it's producing right now. Pretty clear, much less judgmental. If we go to that thing about good and evil, the next line becomes a ripe or mature person out of the ripened treasure of their heart produces ripe good fruit. However, an unripe, a think spiritually immature person, out of the unripe treasure can only at this point produce unripe, not quite ready fruit. That sounds a lot more like a call to ripen and grow spiritually than any kind of judgment. And his followers would have heard that message. So that, of course, brings us back to the original question. How is our ripening process going? How's your ripening process going? Are we more spiritually ripe than we've been in the past? Good question to think about. I often, because there is such a tendency in our society to expect things to change immediately. We read a book, we learn something, and we expect to be in nirvana. There's such a tendency of that, we often don't look at the big picture. We often don't look at how spiritually mature, how much riper am I than I was 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, or farther back. If you look at that, you can often see, it's happening. It's happening in me. And that encourages us to keep working in that ripening process. As we move into the new year, I wanted to remind us that day by day, every day, we are building our lives, each one of us. And we build our lives on a foundation of thoughts and beliefs and ideas. If the thoughts and beliefs and ideas we're building on aren't quite ripe yet, or are based on outside appearances, well, then what we will have, will be not quite satisfying, not quite ripe, some difficulty, some suffering. All of us experience some of that. The important thing to remember when we do experience that is not to treasure the suffering and treasure the pain. That only builds more. The good news is, whatever kind of fruit we're getting back from our life, we have the ability, we have the capacity to change our minds anytime we choose. And as we begin to change our minds, as we begin to change our thinking, our lives begin to change, and we begin to ripen. We begin to ripen. And what our lives produce becomes better. And we'll see this by the fruit that shows up in our lives, right? By the fruit, we'll see more ripening things showing up in our lives, more good. I titled today's talk, Building Anew, because literally every day we are building anew and always building with our thoughts first. Whether we're building a successful career or literally building a building or maybe building a disastrous mistake. Anybody here ever built one of those? It all begins with a thought. It all begins with thoughts. Every one of those. And we empower our thoughts through repetition and giving voice to them. Either speaking about our thoughts with others or saying them over and over inside our head. And so whatever we've managed to build, whatever we've managed to build in the past, whether it's something we like or whether it's something we'd like to get rid of, it's resting on a foundation of some sort. And the foundation is a series of thoughts. And those foundational thoughts can be changed, can't they? We can change our thinking. If we change or withdraw the thoughts, then whatever was resting on top of it, that's going to change too. Perhaps go away completely. You know, I've been reading the book for the class on Myrtle and Unity. And Unity co-founders Charles and Myrtle Fillmore gave particular attention both to their thoughts and to the words they spoke. Because let's face it, what we talk about, what we speak about, it's a reflection of what we're thinking about. The Fillmores also taught that words spoken with conviction had a powerful creative force. They would create whatever they imaged. So for them, speaking powerful words of truth, words of well-being, words of spiritual connection, was one way of harnessing our God-given power, our God-given power to build anew over and over, to build up a healthy body, or to build up supply for our daily needs, or to build up a mind that was open enough to let some more God thoughts in. They also counseled people to be aware of their unspoken words. You know, all those little words that fly around in your head that you think nobody else knows about. Those two have creative power. And by their repetition, they work a little bit like prayers, connecting us with whatever they're representing. Inner self-talk about worries and problems, treasuring our pain and suffering. Well, as the saying said that we just read in the scripture, it tends to build more of the same. Inner talk about kindness and goodness, appreciating life, appreciating all these wonderful people that are around us in this life. Appreciation, kindness, and goodness, that builds up more kindness, goodness. They're prayers, aren't they? Our spoken words and our self-talk are the foundational ideas underlying this whole process of creating. And if we're willing to remember that wherever we look, underneath all of this creation we see, there is a rock-solid foundation, an awareness of the presence of spirit, the presence of divine mind, the presence of a perfect mind there. And if we begin building on that, then, wow, we can build amazing things. We can build amazing things. We can unleash a very positive creative power in our lives and in the lives of our communities. A powerful force for good. So I put an affirmation in the back of the bulletin, and I reversed the first couple words on it, so this up here is a little different. Same wording. The bulletin says word by word, thought by thought. I thought, I need to put the thoughts first. That's what I thought. So together let us say, thought by thought and word by word, I build my life anew. Let's do that one again. That's good. Thought by thought and word by word, I build my life anew. One more time. Thought by thought and word by word, I build my life anew. Close your eyes and let that thought settle in really good and solid. Really good and rock solid. Thought by thought, with each thought that I consciously choose, and word by word, with each word that I consciously speak, I build a new life. My new life is not limited by the past. The past is gone. It's over. And unless I bring pieces of the past with me, I'm free of it. So today, right now, right here, thought by thought, we can build the future. We can build the God-connected thoughts. We can build the appreciation and the kindness that we want to experience, thought by thought. And we can speak about those things, word by word. We can speak about them in our own minds. We can talk to ourselves about that. And we can talk to others about that. Sharing appreciation and kindness, sharing trust in that foundational goodness of God that is always present. Thought by thought, word by word, we build the lives that we desire. Thought by thought, word by word, may we build good lives, ripe lives, joyful lives, lives of kindness. So let's open our eyes. and anchor that thought just a little more in our heads. Together we say, thought by thought and word by word, I build my life anew. One last time. Thought by thought, word by word, I build my life anew. May we build beautiful lives and a beautiful 2015 together. And may we help remind each other to do that, huh? Because that's the other way we do it. Thank you.